She comes to her justice, and the number of the comes to the justice, and she Sad brojkan, sad brojkan, 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 Onno Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Onno
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Onno Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Onno Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Onno Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Krishna's appearance. We're reading from the 10th canto, chapter 3, text 27. This are Devaki's prayers upon seeing Krishna, and she keeps an amazing sentence in this purport. Marcho,
Marcho,
Dityu,
Laya,
Dityaham,
Alayan,
Lokan,
Sarvan,
Nirbhayam, Najagachat, Twat, Padabjam, Prapya, Yadricha Yadja, Shushta, Pete, Nityur, Atmat, Apaiti,
Apaiti.
Okay, what words do we need here? We know what this song may be saying sounds.
Mitya means death.
Mitya means death, okay. Got that more than once, don't we?
Yeah.
Okay. Martya and Mitya. What other words here can you know?
Loka.
Loka, which means? Planet or people.
Sarva.
Sarva, which means?
All.
All, okay.
Nirbhayam.
Yeah, good, okay. Anyone?
Twat's been to you.
Come to you. What about BT?
Fear.
Fear. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that you'll find something.
Body and distress.
Where is that?
Happy.
No. Well, running from. Any other?
Padacham. Something to do with lotus feet.
Okay, good. What does gacha mean? Gacha. To go or to get? This is it's sort of hidden with the sandhi, but icha. You see icha? Yeah, it was icha mean.
Wish.
Wish is anything. Wish is just okay. Marcho Mithubhyala Viti Pulayam.
Marcho Mithubhyala Viti Pulayam.
Lokam Sarvam Nirbhayam. Nadya Gatcha.
Lokam Sarvam Nirbhayam. Nadya Gatcha.
Svatpadavam Prapya Yavichta Yadya.
Svatpadavam Prapya Yavichta Yadya.
Sutta Mithurashmada Paiti.
Martyo Mithu Vyala Dita Palayan.
Martyo Mithu Vyala Dita Palayan.
Lokan Sarvam Nirbhayam Nadya Gatcha.
Lokan Sarvam Nirbhayam Nadya Gatcha.
Padabhyam prapya yadvichadyadya.
Padabhyam prapya yadvichadyadya.
Shushta sete mityurasmadapaiti.
Shushta sete mityurasmadapaiti.
jala vita palaya.
Mahasya vichitra vita palaya.
Lokan sarvan nirbhayam na jagacha.
Lokan sarvan nirbhayam na jagacha.
Tatpadam jam prakya yachayadya.
Tatpadam jam prakya yachayadya.
Matyo Mituraya Vita Palayan.
Matyo Mituraya Vita Palayan.
Lokan Sharan Nirvayam Nataya Kacha.
Lokan Sharan Nirvayam Nataya Kacha.
Parasyam Kapya Yadishaya Dya.
Parasyam Kapya Yadishaya Dya.
Mitchell twice and marching. Anyone have any idea what this verse might be about? Yes.
But this kind of being a case of death.
Okay.
You deliver people from fear.
Deliver people from fear. We have the new one.
From fear.
Right. Okay.
Seeing death as reality.
That people see death as reality. That was mine. Sorry, I had to leave it on because I was a messenger. Now I can turn it off. I was thinking, she'll probably text message me. That's true. Mrtyah, the living entities who are sure to die.
The living entities who are sure to die.
Mrtyu Vrala Vitaha.
Mrtyu Vrala Vitaha.
Afraid of the serpent of death.
Afraid of the serpent of death.
Palayan.
Palayan.
Running.
Running.
As soon as the serpent is seen, everyone runs away.
As soon as the serpent is seen, everyone runs away.
Fearing in Lokan, in the different planets, Sarvan, all, Nirvayam, fearlessness,
na
abhiyakachat, not obtain, twat hara abjam, of your lotus feet, prapya, obtaining the shelter. Very interesting. Health opportunities. Yadrishchaya.
Yadrishchaya.
What does Icha mean again?
Yadrishchaya.
By chance? By chance?
By chance.
What does that sound like?
It goes with that.
By the mercy of your lordship and your representative, the spiritual master.
By the mercy of your lordship and your representative,
the spiritual master. Guru Kripa Krishna Kripa.
Guru Kripa Krishna Kripa.
Ajya,
presently,
stop,
sound
is of course a place, being undisturbed and mentally composed,
shake,
are sleeping,
ritual,
death,
asmat,
from those persons,
apaiti,
please. Why do you think Prabhupada translated Yadrishchaya as by chance, by the mercy of your lordship and your representative, the spiritualist?
Because it's their desire?
Okay, you're talking about their desire. Why do you think it says word chance?
Not the best couple of uses the word hoite, which means perhaps. So it requires some endeavor and some reciprocation in terms of mercy on part of the disciple and the guru.
Okay, so why do we call that chance? Because you don't know if you're going to get it or not. Any other idea where Prabhupada would translate Yadrishchaya, meaning Krishna's desire, Guru's desire, as chance?
Because we've got free will, so we might not accept it.
Okay, I like that. Okay. Okay, we might not accept it.
Because it's our good fortune.
Because it's our good fortune? Okay, any other reason? Why it's our good chance? Okay. You can't predict Krishna's mercy, yes. Predictable gods would be very boring gods. That would be like, you know, government clerical officers. You ever meet one of those people? You ever have some kind of problem with some company? And you get the person you call on the phone is a very predictable, lower level clerk. And sorry, ma'am, you can't do that. But, you know, you gave me the wrong date. It was your fault. And sorry, ma'am, once we've given you the ticket, we can't change it for another date. You know, you might as well get on the court if it was on the roll. Can I teach the supervisor, please, when you can, ma'am, that those are the rules, the supervisor won't be able to do anything about it. So God's not a death. There is some element of his desire. There's an element of the desire of God and the living entities. And we call Krishna's mercy, what was usually, was our adjective usually for Krishna's mercy? Causeless. By the way, when we have desires, are they sometimes causeless? Ever have any causeless desires? I have causeless. Don't you have causeless desires? Did you ever just want I mean, are, in other words, are our desires totally predictable?
No.
No. Okay. So God is also a person. God is actually a person. It's not just some theoretical construct. Actually a person. And the great Lord is also a person. And therefore, the logic of their desires may not be evident to us. It's a long time. I need to focus particularly on one sentence, so see if you can figure out translation for information. Again, this is the prayers of Devaki. That's important. No one in this material world has become free from the four principles of birth, death, old age, and disease, even by fleeing to various planets. But now that you have appeared, my Lord, death is fleeing in fear of you. And the living entities, having obtained shelter at your lotus feet by your mercy, are sleeping in full mental peace. Okay. There are different categories of living entities, but everyone is afraid of death. The highest aim of the karmi is to be promoted to the higher heavenly planets, where the duration of life is very long. Stated in Bhagavad Gita 8:17, Sahasra Yuga Paryantam Aharya Brahmano. One day of Brahma equals 1,000 yugas, and each yuga consists of 4,300,000 years. Similarly, Brahma has a night of 1,000 times 4,300,000 years. In this way, we may calculate Brahma's month and year. But even Brahma, who lives for millions and millions of years, the mean part of a kala, also must die. According to Veda Shastra, the inhabitants of the higher planetary systems live for 10,000 years. And just as Brahma's day is equal to 4,300,000,000,000 of our years, one day in the higher planetary systems equals 6 of our months. Karmis, therefore, try for promotion to the higher planetary systems. But this cannot free from death. This cannot free them from death. In this material world, everyone from Brahma to the insignificant ant must die. Therefore, this world is called Marchaloka. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 8:16, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Munaroti Mojana. As long as one is within this material world, even either a Brahma Loka or any other Loka within this universe, one must undergo the Kala Chakra of one life after another, Rupa Rupa Vite. Which means, what does Rupa Rupa mean? Again and again, with Palaya, destroyed. But if one returns to the Supreme Personality, got it, yet Jetva Nandivartite, one need not re-enter the limits of time. Isn't that cool? Wait a second. One need not re-enter the limits of time. One of the qualities of devotees is that they're poetic. I know that's not the sense of it. Therefore, devotees who have taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord can sleep very peacefully. Right? That's what Devaki is saying. Shaking and sleeping. They can sleep very peacefully. With this assurance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then Lord Brahma's prayers for the creative energy, he says that the living entities are in anxiety and therefore their sleep is always disturbed. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.9, Prakhtadevam Sanarjana 19. After giving up the present body, a devotee who has understood Krishna as he is need not return to this material world. What's the whole text of 4.9? The constitutional position for the living entity is eternity. That's from what chapter, Bhagavad Gita? Every living entity is eternal. That's us. So first we had, right, that we're the living entities who are going to die. The Marichamah, the living entities who are sure to die, that's us. So now we know every living entity is eternal. So we're all going to die, but not that's pretty nice. But because of having fallen into this material world, one wanders within the universe, continually changing from one body to another. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, now this is going to relate to the Icha. What verse it means, let me quote. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that has to do with wandering, and it relates to the Icha in the verse. Very good. Thank you much. But it could be. It would certainly be appropriate. Yes, it would certainly meet those conditions.
Konya Bhagyam.
Yes, oh, good. Ramanya Brahmi Take on the Bhagavan Ji Guru Krishna Prasadapani Bhagavan. Very good. So, everyone is wandering up and down within this universe, but one who is sufficiently fortunate comes in contact with Krishna consciousness by the mercy of the spiritual master, takes the path of devotional service. So that verse by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it has most of the elements of the same prayer that Devaki said. You can wander around, no matter how much you wander around, you're not going to get rid of death. And if you get the Icha by the desire of Guru Krishna, you can get free. Then one is assured of eternal life with no fear of death. I thought we already had eternal life. I thought we're already eternal. So, then one is assured of eternal life.
The body is not dying.
The body, well, the what, why?
The last one, with the spiritual body.
With the spiritual body. Then you don't have to have a material body besides. Well, what about the people who realize Krishna but follow Krishna's roadshow in the material world? They have a material body. So that's a good answer. I think that's true. But could that mean also more than
persons who follow Krishna's roadshow.
Yes. There are devotees who go with Krishna from one universe to the other. Some of them appear in the original. So what does that mean for them?
They're not bound by material laws to
okay, they're not bound by material laws, even though they have a physical one. There's no fear. How are the people experiencing themselves? Yeah, experiencing themselves as eternal servants of Krishna. When Krishna appears, everyone is freed from fear of death. Yet Devaki felt, we are so afraid of Kamsa. Although you have appeared as our son. She was more or less bewildered as to why this should be so. And she appealed to the Lord to free her and go today from this fear. In this connection, it may be noted that the moon is one of the heavenly planets. Why is Prabhupada talking about the moon? When I first read it, I'm like, what? Why is Prabhupada talking about the moon?
Because he says you can go to other planets and try to escape, but there's no time.
And what relates to what word here?
Lokan.
Lokan, yeah. In this connection, we know that the moon is one of the heavenly planets. From the Vedic perspective, we understand that one who goes to the moon receives a life with a duration of 10,000 years in which to enjoy the fruits of pious activities. If our so-called scientists are going to the moon, why should they come back here?
Maybe we should send them all to the moon.
We must conclude without a doubt that they have never gone to the moon. So Prabhupada's argument here is, we know they haven't gone to the moon because they wouldn't have come.
They should have stayed in the extended state.
Yes. To go to the moon, one must have the qualification of pious activities. Then one may go there and live. If one has gone to the moon, why should he return to this planet, where life is a very short duration? Archa Mujyala Vinta Palayan. Lokam sarvam nirvayam manchigatya. Padabja prapya yadvichchayantya. Shusta shite mityoshmada paiti. No one in this material world has become free from the four principles, birth, death, old age, and disease, even by fleeing to various planets. But now that you have appeared, my lord, death is fleeing in fear of you, and the living entities, having obtained shelter at your lotus feet by your mercy, are sleeping in full mental. This is one of those verses in purport to Prabhupada. When Prabhupada says that each verse in the Bhagavatam you can talk about for 3 months, and some of them you look at it and go, kind of scratching your head. But this one, you certainly can easily talk about this one. I'm speaking with Jayadratha Swami in Italy, and he's thinking about writing a commentary on one of the books of the Old Testament of the Bible. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about the Bible, and he was saying, yeah, but they have all these chapters with the gods. Mm-hmm. I said, well, we have that too. Especially like in the sixth canto. And some of those verses, you know, just this person married this person and had these children. How about each word in the Bhagavatam is Krishna? And this one is very easy, even for neophytes like me to understand. That Krishna is present in this verse and I don't think people are Krishna 3 months. Alright, what the sentence or sentences actually here do you think I decided are particularly interesting? Yes.
How about, therefore, devotees who have taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord can sleep very peacefully with this assurance from the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Well, that's a good guess. And there was a time that I was chanting Lord Rama's prayers for the creative energy every day. That's certainly a nice sentence. I mean, maybe we could have a class on things like insomnia. Good sleeping habits. Does this mean that everybody falls asleep during Bhagavatam class? Or as soon as we meet the deities, oh, there's Krishna. It's interesting, not unusual, that to say that if you're free from fear, the evidence of this is that you can sleep peacefully. It doesn't sound unusual, especially when we know that the liberated souls are free from sleep. In the ordinary sense, they're existing on Turiya, the fourth dimension. They're not existing in ordinary wakefulness, dreaming, or deep sleep. And the liberated soul, they sleep simply to replenish the physical body. You know, during sleep, what the body does is it pulls all the blood circulation out of the main organs and into the muscles to do repair work. So, you know, the temperature goes down. Do you ever wonder why we need a blanket when we're sleeping in the same room where we don't have to wear a jacket all day? Right? As the temperature goes down, heartbeat goes down, breathing, everything, all the main body functions rest in deep sleep so that repair work can go on. Just like every once in a while you have to clear out the temple room so you can clean it. You know, there's always people working. So they sleep only for that purpose. The rest of the sleep that we get is for what? You know, the rest of the sleep we get is for the mind. The time that we're sleeping is for the mind. It's for the mind to process and, you know, do its filing and ending plans and sort things out. And if you don't get enough sleep for the mind will go mad. Probably because without enough sleep, you don't have enough intelligence. Your subtle body can't work properly unless it also has a sleeping phase. But it's interesting that the part of the sleeping phase that's important for the mind is dreaming, which is very active. The body is practically as active as in a wakeful state. It's not in punishment mode of deep sleep. But the great souls who are liberated from the subtle body, they no longer need to sleep for the mind. And so we see that, say, the ghost farmers were speaking about 1.5 or 2 hours a day, which is what the scientists say you need for the body. There's one devotee, and actually many of you know this is a really good Mahatma Tengu, who hasn't slept for about 8 years. I asked this devotee, he said, "No, too soon." This person said, "Because I was just noticing that they were doing service all night, and early in the morning, and at night, all the time." I mean, I do that for a day. And he said, and it's interesting, people were on this platform, they were very matter of fact about it. I said, "You sleep at all?" He said, "Well, 20, 30 minutes. I said, "That's all?" I said, "That you sit 7 days, I got to sleep for about 8 hours. But that's it." So how long are you doing that for? "Well, I don't know, 8 years or something." Don't try that one for sure. There are devotees who read we should reduce sleep, so they try to do it without having transcended the mind, and it's very unhealthy. This peaceful sleep that Devaki is speaking about obviously refers to ordinary person. When Krishna comes, they get some peace, and also refers to transcendence. But no, that wasn't one. She says, "When Krishna appears, everyone is free from fear of death, yet Devaki felt, 'We are so afraid of Kamsa, although you have appeared as Arjuna.'" She was more or less bewildered as to why this should be so. That was a really struggle. And she appealed to the Lord to free her and left again from this. She was more or less bewildered as to why this should be so, and she appealed to the Lord to free her and left again from this. So, let's first see, what is Srila Prabhupada saying in this sentence? Again, and if there was something else I read in the purport that you were just dying for me to talk about, I apologize. What do you think that Srila Prabhupada meant in this sentence? She was more or less bewildered as to why this should be so. What does this refer to?
Being fearful.
Being fearful
of death. Even though Krishna says so.
Okay. So she's more or less bewildered as to why she had some fear, even though Krishna has appeared. And when Krishna appears, what happens? There's no fear. With the sleeping thing, I think we could assume that Devaki was not sleeping before. Is that a reasonable assumption?
Yeah.
Because she's mentioning that. I don't know that. More or less bewildered. What do you think, Robin?
Bewilderment is constant emotion. There are so many emotions, but she is predominantly bewildered.
Any other ideas?
Not bewildered in the usual sense.
Okay. So it could be that you're speaking about like Arjuna,
yeah.
So that, I would say that that's more our realization, because Prabhupada doesn't actually say that here. That's our implication. So you're going to the next step, which is what's our realization. Thank you. Any other ideas on what Prabhupada is saying here? She was more or less willing as to why we should be so. There's some kind of contradiction. So Prabhupada's saying here, there's some kind of contradiction between why this should be so, why there's this fear, even though Krishna has appeared, and therefore the contradiction is the source of her bewilderment. Okay, and then our response to that, so you're saying something accidental. Any other responses or realizations? Yes?
I'm trying to think about why is, not just reading, but why is this contradiction here? Think about it.
Because he's not telling us, is he? In this purport, he's probably not giving us any indication in this particular purport as to why this contradiction exists or what is the meaning to it. He's simply presenting it to us. Devaki can't even figure it out, more or less.
qualities?
What are the qualities of this bewilderment?
Is bewilderment one of the qualities?
Is bewilderment one of the qualities? One of the qualities of... Is it one of the emotions in relation to Krishna, you're saying? Well, there's certainly an awe and wonder. So it could be that bewilderment is related to awe and wonder, and it could be, therefore, that this bewilderment, this more or less bewilderment, is a kind of ecstasy that she's in. Is that what you mean? Yes?
In one sense, it might be obvious why there is still fear, because Kamsa is threatening Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason that the fear is taken away itself is threatened.
So maybe we're looking at fear from a very external point of view. Is that what you mean? That when Krishna comes, he's going to show Kamsa, but Kamsa's not yet hit?
No, the fear is going away because Krishna is there, but Kamsa, in one sense, is a threat to Krishna. So again, we might fear that Krishna is going away through Kamsa.
Oh, okay, so the fear is for Krishna.
Yes.
That comes to the point of Krishna. Ah, okay. Yes.
She's fearful because even if Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is still his son.
Okay, so that also reflects back to what Prabhupada just said in the previous one, a living pure is our son. So then it's also pulled into the idea that it's transcendental, that her fear is because this is also her bewilderment, perhaps, right? You're God, but you're my son. And these two things, now we know with Yasoda is a little different, because Yasoda isn't conscious like that of Krishna being God. She knows. It's not that they don't know. When the gopis are crying for Krishna's separation, they say, "You're not really the son of Mother Yasoda, my friend. You are the indwelling witness in every heart." So it's not that they don't know. When Krishna takes away the clothes of the unmarried gopis, you know, and they're also saying, "You know, you're supposed to be kind to your devotees and hear your devotees." Yeah. Also, it's really funny when they say, "We're your servants. Why are you treating us like this?" And then Krishna says, "Well, if you're my servants, then why don't you do what I should do?" But Devaki is much more aware of Krishna being God. At the same time, she does feel that he's her son. So that could be also what Prabhupada was referring to, because Prabhupada refers back in the last sentence. Any other thoughts on this? Yes.
And then the mother was very happy when she got her son. She was in the mood of, when Krishna born, I was only happy. But as soon as Krishna born, she was still occupied. She did not know what to do.
Okay. So naturally, of course, any woman who has a child is immediately going to feel happy. I want to speak if you have God as your child. Okay? All the ladies here would like to have God as your child. It's pretty nice, right? So when women are expecting a child, usually their feeling is going to be very, very vulnerable.
It's quite a responsibility.
It is, right? But the mothers always think, "Yes, yeah, any pregnant lady." And they're usually daydreaming about how their child's going to be a great personality. It's going to be born like Karna with earrings or something like that. The whole room's going to light up in the baby's mind. So what do you think if that actually happens? You know, if God does appear as your child, so you're going to be very happy. And yes, all your fear, everything is going to go away. Yeah, but then again, you think, "Oh, but now Kamsa is going to come and kill me." All right. So the first part, of course, of this verse and purport are dealing with the fact that all of us are overcome all the time by fear. Our fear is our constant companion. And it's so much our constant companion that we become accustomed to it. Just like any of you who live here in the ashram, if you're not accustomed to the noise from the bar next door, you would be going mad. If but after a while, you just don't hear it anymore. You know, or you're in a room with an air conditioner that's humming. After a while, you don't notice it. People of young children are like that, too. You know, sometimes you may wonder why parents don't control their children's noise more in public, and one of the answers is they don't hear it. They learn to tune it out to some extent, or their child's naughty behavior. And you're thinking, why is it? They're not even really aware of it. They have to not be aware of it, or they go mad. because it's a constant sort of thing. And when we did the genealogy eons ago, and I remember one of the devotees there was living in the cabin with no electricity, and she said to me, you know, electricity is very noisy. And after that, I became aware of it. Yes, it is. You know, the refrigerator is always humming. All of the gadgets that we have, they're always making some hum, or there's some light. You know, just like your computer is putting out those little light diffusion on. But you don't notice it. Right? You just, or we're not, right now, our mind is filtering out a lot of the sensory input that we're getting. It would be distracting to us. So most of us are not aware of how the floor feels on our legs, or the temperature of the air, or various things in the room, or the little sounds of the people filtering the phone. Of course, not in the same region. But generally, we're filtering this stuff out because it's there all the time. We can't notice everything all the time. So we're not consciously aware of being in fear. But it's a constant thing. It's a 24 hours. We're always afraid. And you just walk down the stairs, and you're afraid that you're going to fall. We're taking some care. And we're constantly taking some care that we won't injure our body. Isn't it? All the time. And everything that we do and everything that we have, we know we're going to lose it. We did that exercise here before. Right? Remember that? Anybody remember such exercises here with us? When we talked about how many things we wanted that we didn't get, and how many of the things we wanted and we got were not very nice, and then how many things we wanted we got and were very nice that are temporary. Mm-hmm. Right? And we were left with how many things we want, we get them, we're very nice, and we keep them, and then zero, remember that? So everything that we have, we're going to lose it. Everything. I mean, that doesn't just include our shoes that we really like, or, you know, you got the best room in the Brahmachari ashram or something like that. I just reminded me in the old 55th Street Temple, my husband and I had one of the few flats in the temple. Most people had just a little room and had to use a communal bathroom, but we got one of the flats. I don't remember how we rated it. Somehow, I think it was just a chance. You know, it had like one big room, a small room, a kitchen, and a private bath. Whoa, you know, we had made it in the Hare Krishna movement. And then the DBC asked us to go to Philadelphia to help with the Bhaktivedanta Institute, which didn't end up working out because Ramachandra cut the funding while we were driving there. We get there and they say, sorry, Ramachandra just cut the funding. I'm like, oh, now what do we do? So I don't know, no problem. Anyway, so we stayed there. Those are the good old days. So we stayed there for a while and we went back to New York. And of course, by the time we went back to New York, someone else had taken our flat. And then we had to live in one of the communal rooms. Use the communal bathroom. So whatever we have like that, you know, we're afraid we're going to lose it. We have a nice room in the Brahmachari quarters, or you have a really nice sari, or you finally got this book that you wanted from the shop, whatever it may be. You know, what to speak of our other things, our education. Next life, we're going to be saying, you know, bad, and we might even say at the end of this life, we get Alzheimer's. One devotee just was chatting with me. She says, I want to do some substantial work for Prabhupada before I become senile. I'm not saying I'm becoming senile, but I'm thinking, I really don't want to become senile. That'll just fasten me with that. But we're all afraid like that. Isn't it? Even our mind. I mean, we could go out and get hit by a bus and then we can't even think anymore. But the way this happens to people, and it even happens to people who chant Hare Krishna. As one of the men, her son was in a rugby accident and he lost his memory for a good 2 months. She said, now he's okay. But she couldn't remember his name. He'd ask the same questions over and over and over again. So we're constantly in fear, because although part of us is saying, oh, that won't happen to me, that won't happen to me, I'll always be young, I'll always be healthy, I'll always have my mind, I'll always have my money, you know, I'll always have my mommy and daddy to take care of me, whatever these things, but we know that none of that's true. So we're in a constant state of fear. because everything that we put our shelter in is temporary. Does that make sense? What we're banking on, what we're holding on to. It's like, you know, we're in the middle of the ocean, holding on to this log that's rotting in our hands. And we, you know, thinking, okay, well, maybe it'll hold together until I make the shore, but we can't even see the shore. We know that that's not going to happen. So we're all in a constant state of fear. We try to get rid of this fear. What does David be saying? How do we try to get rid of this fear? Well, no, I'm a materialist, right?
Going to a different planet.
Going to a different planet, which may mean going to different places.
Yeah. Take a holiday.
Take a holiday. Right? You know, go to Hawaii. So my oldest son lives in Hawaii, and everybody says to me how lucky you are, but they just had a hurricane go right past the island. And they had an earthquake there, too. They had an earthquake, so their TV fell off the altar, and all the pots were shaking. He said their legs were like rubber for the next 5 or 6 hours. So people think, you know, I'll go to some beautiful paradise, but even then there's earthquakes, there's hurricanes, you know, even in the higher planets there's demons, even go to Mars to deal with demons. Or we think, you know, I'll get another job, or I'll, you know, go into a different ashram. I mean, these things may be practical. Maybe it's practical to have a different service or get married or whatever. But if we think this thing is going to save me from fear, this is going to give me shelter, and then we're in a constant state of fear. But that's how we're usually thinking. Only if I got my bhakti shakti degree. Only if I could move into the ashram. Only if I could move out of the ashram, you know, whatever it may be. Only if I got a new pair of shoes. Right? There's always something. The mind is always giving us a something. That only if I got this, only if I got this, only if I got this, then I would be safe. Well, if I get enough money and I put it in a savings account, and then I'll be drawing this much interest, and if I draw this much interest, then I can go retire and be done. And this is what he talked about that the other day. Oh, you know, if only I could just give up my job and retire. And I said, then there'll be other problems. So then you'd be worrying about the people at the airport moving your luggage. That's my fear. That's only an overriding fear. That her years worth of possessions are in this little box that the airline. My point is, it doesn't stop. You know, you say, well, if I get a house, then I'll be free of fear. If I don't have a house, then I'll be free of fear. If I do this, then if I just live in the ashram, then ISKCON will take care of me. But then you always wonder, will they really? If I get all the time, what will they do with me? They'll say, I'm sorry, there's not enough room in the ashram. We need to place here for hardworking people. We'll put you out to pasture with the old cow.
Excuse me. You could have some interest in this. You know, you more people.
Yes, that is true. That is true. So then we come to the next point. That we're not interested just in being fearless. Now, isn't this interesting? Is Devaki fearless?
No.
And Prabhupada talked about the patient in the hospital. You know, they're eating hospital food. I hope very few of you can relate to that. I hope very few of you have ever had to eat hospital food. Or even like sick person's food. You ever had to eat sick person's food? You know, you're sick and they say, okay, you have to eat stuff without salt and without butter and just like this thin barley soup or something. You have to eat sometimes for days. You don't want to eat. You know, the food has no taste and no appetite. And so if someone says, well, when you get better, you'll not be able to eat anything. The Prabhupada gives that example that the sick person, They're passing stool and urine in the bedpan, and they're eating hospital food, and they're getting bathed in the bed. And if you say, well, when you're well, you'll be able to take a bath, and you'll be able to eat, and you go, oh, I'll have to do the same thing. So we may be thinking, many people think, that, oh, if I become a pure devotee of Krishna, I'll still have fear. What is the point? I want to come to Shanti, Om Shanti. So this fear that Devaki has is a very interesting kind of fear, because this fear is above fearlessness. This fear is not like Ormila's fear that the British Airways will lose her luggage again. What was I talking to you yesterday? They said their daughter's luggage got lost and they never found it. You know, my heart goes, ah. It's not like that fear. Or whatever you guys are afraid of. What is my deepest fear? It's not like that. Her fear is not like that. Because our fear, if we just think for a minute of our fears, how do they make us feel? Not good, okay? We were a little bit more specific than that. Insecure.
Anxious.
Vulnerable, anxious.
Lack of confidence.
Lack of confidence. Okay. I feel like it's kind of a scrunching.
Inactive.
Yeah, you become almost paralyzed. You can't do anything. Like, I don't want to move a step forward. I think it kind of sort of closed down.
It inhibits
us, yeah.
Retreat.
So the fear of the devotees like Devaki is not like that. I mean, we were talking a little bit. So this fear is based on what? Where is it coming from?
Yeah.
Love.
Love. It's coming from love for Krishna. And love for Krishna is expansive ecstasy, which gives you fearlessness. I mean, why does Prabhupada explain to that if we're connected with Krishna, Janma Karma Samadhiya, that then we're fearless? Why is a devotee fearless? Abhaya. Yeah.
Excuse me. Fully depending on Krishna, that in any circumstance he will be protected.
Yes, actually that's one of the symptoms of surrender, that Krishna will protect me. I was speaking to a devotee the other day who for 18 years, he said, for 18 years he and his wife have not had any steady source of income. They've been preachers and they've just been depending on whatever Krishna sends. So I was talking about the experience and I'm now attempting to do the same thing for quite some time. And well, not 18 years. So I was trying to learn from this devotee, you know, how do you do that? And I said, well, you know, it's easy when there's enough money. And he said, yes, sometimes it's really hard because there's only rice and cabbage, he said. My wife and I only had rice and cabbage to eat at one point for a couple of weeks. Huh. And I said, well, I've been very poor at some point in this time, but at those times I was a grasp, and I figured, you know, well, my husband will take care of me and somehow it will all work out. And he said, yeah, you just think like that about Krishna. That may be a little bit better. Maybe we can all relate to that when we were children. Maybe we've all been children. Do you remember a little bit when you were a kid?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, Mommy, unless you had a really dysfunctional family, in which case, I'm sorry, there's some fighting. You know? We have to be careful with these things, because now they tell you, oh, there's a really backed up family. You can't use these things as analogies anymore. You know, like Prabhupada says, you should cry, you know, you should let the child cry for their mother, you know, because your mother was abusive or something. But in most families, we have confidence. Dad, and I was my own, was the daddy for sure, you know, that your daddy's going to take care of you. That he's going to go to work and he's going to make money and he's going to take care of you. And even if your parents went through some time without a lot of money, you know, you probably just think, well, daddy will take care of me. Do you remember that? Or you see, you know, people travel with children and the child's sleeping. And the father says that he's from the airport. You know, and the father's just carrying the sleeping child. And the child has no worries. You know, I can fall asleep on this journey. And they're not worried if I fall asleep at the airline and lose my luggage. You know, they're thinking daddy's going to take care of me. So it's like that, yes. So they're fearless because Krishna's going to take care of me. Even no matter what happens externally, that's all right. Krishna's going to take care of me. Why else are they fearless?
Because they have no material desire.
They have no material desire. Wow. It's been a long time talking about this. That what's the whole source of our fear?
Material desire.
That I'm fearful because I have the wrong shelters, and I have the wrong shelters because I have material desires. If I had no material desires, then I wouldn't be taking shelter and things to fulfill those desires. And therefore, I wouldn't be afraid of losing those shelters. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, I want XYZ to be happy. And to get XYZ, I have to have this situation, or this thing, or this relationship, whatever, and when I see those things are temporary, then I become fearful, because then I think, how am I going to fulfill my desires, and then I'll be unhappy. If I don't fulfill desires, what does it matter whether those things are not there or there? That makes sense. I mean, like, are we afraid that the bar next door is going to close? It's not, you know, that's not our shelter. Some of them, I'm sure there are people who are afraid of the cross. But we're not. So if we had no shelter in this world, then we would have no fear. So they dared have no material desires. All those prophets says here, now how do you say how many money you they know they're not this body. Such an end of ours in Croatia was speaking about how recently he was very ill. He had a near-death experience. And I was left his body, and he was saying, this is the source of fear. Did you see it? Not this body. He said even the crazy mind became irrelevant. Which is interesting, because most people when they hear their experiences stay with this mind. But that's the ultimate source of fear. So even ordinary persons, you know, if they have some trauma to their body and they leave their body, so sometimes look at their body in the hospital or whatever and say, who is that old lady over there? Well, she didn't look very good. You know, they just have no connection anymore. So Devaki, certainly, she's not having any material desires. She's fully under Krishna's protection. She's not identifying with this world. So she's above fear. She's completely on the platform of fearlessness. So therefore, this fear that she's experiencing is not causing her any kind of, you know, this kind of constricted, restricted, withdrawing. Rather, it's part of her love. And how do you feel when you feel love? When you feel some affection or some love, how do you feel? Not just happy, but what else?
Satisfied,
peaceful, what else?
You don't need anything.
You feel like you don't need anything, you feel very full? Then if you've been really, ever really deeply in love with somebody, how did you feel? Was it kind of an expansive thing? Did you feel that all was right with the world? Nothing else mattered? Yeah. So it's a very different feeling. It's not a constricted, restricted, withdrawing emotion. It's this sort of emotion. It's an overflowing, like David says in the Bible, like cup runneth over. It's an overflowing thing. So this fear that Devaki is feeling is a variety of that love. So love for Krishna is not boring. Krishna is not boring. And love for Krishna is not boring. It's not that if you love Krishna, you're just always walking around saying that. And she's feeling afraid for Krishna. It's a manifestation of love. And yes, I hear bewilderment is also a manifestation of ecstasy. Wow, this is amazing. Krishna's here, and I'm afraid of him. I'm afraid for it. How is this? The devotees are always feeling astonishment and wonder at how wonderful Krishna is. Again, they're not bored. It's not that because they know that Krishna is God, or that they're not still always astonished. In fact, you can say that's the essence of all the rasas, this feeling of wonderment. Prabhupada says you only feel wonder at someone that you love. If someone you don't care about does something wonderful, so what? You know, but if someone that you love does a small thing, then you're very impressed. So it would be helpful for us to bring to our conscious awareness the fact that we are always in a state of fear. We help to be conscious and aware. Why? Because then we can see our material desires and our attachments for what they are, and we'll be much more likely to want to give them up and come to this much higher state, to want to come to this transcendental fear. If we want to exchange our constricting, restricting, anxiety-producing fear for an ecstatic, expanding, loving fear that someone's going to hurt Krishna, then we need to examine what's motivating us. To what degree, when I'm in my regular activities, am I being motivated that I want to love Krishna and I want to take care of Krishna? Or to what degree am I being motivated by I'm looking out for myself and what I need and trying to arrange on my own? Am I trying to be my own protector and arrange for my own security? And our natural state is to be like Devaki. That is our natural state. The residents of the spiritual world, they frequently feel these different waves of emotion, including fear for Krishna. Or maybe Krishna's feet were different. Krishna will be walking in the forest and maybe some little stick will hurt. So this is a very easy way to become Krishna conscious, to be thinking, what's motivating me? And can I be, instead of being afraid for myself, can I be afraid for Krishna? So Jaya Sai Guru is now meditating on the clock. I saw you look at the clock about 5 times in the last 2 minutes. No, that means that he's a good leader. He's always concerned about all the devotees and whether or not they'll get out to eat and whether or not they'll get out of the restaurant. Have you been all been taking good care of him? Have you all been supporting him in his service? It's a very difficult service, though, to be the leader. First of all, it's very lonely. Okay? And he said it's a hard position from which to admit your weakness to anybody in the human condition of leadership. It's hard to reveal your mind to people because you change, isn't it? Your relationship with people changes. And everybody wants to see some fault in you and criticize you. It says not very many people are willing to take on that responsibility for Srila Prabhupada. So please give them all your support. Prabhupada says in the Adi Leela, says that every human being is a combination of faults and good qualities, so we should just be like the leaders in the good qualities. And particularly we all have a tendency to envy our leaders and think, you know, that we can do a better job and see their faults. Envy is particularly directed at people who are in a superior position to ourselves. It's especially important that we all see the good qualities and give the person support and help and not criticize them. And realize that it's a very difficult service to take on. It's not all an easy service, and even though there appears to be some external perks, it's actually a much more difficult service than cleaning your pots and cleaning the toilets. I'd like to make that request. Yeah. I'd like to see Jaya Sai Prabhu continue to be a leader in the Hare Krishna movement for a very, very long time. And that's my first. I was just doing some work for the GDC succession committee, where the GDC is trying to identify and train and groom future leaders in our movement. So this has been kind of my meditation for the last couple of weeks. You know, we're looking at different forms they could fill out in different ways. So thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Jai! Hey, baseball, the overlay key!
Jai!